Nick, yeah! Hey guys, it's Mike Zimmer here, joined with Mr. Chris Nauman. He's the co-host of Team Awesome Inc. Hell yeah. And this is our 4-year anniversary of doing the show.
What?
Oh yeah, bitches!
Suck it.
4 years of awesome. Can you believe it? Can you fucking believe it?
No.
They've let us have a show for 4 years, man.
Something's coming. Something bad.
Something bad's gonna happen now, Chris. Nauman.
And so it begins.
And that's what happened. Please. Is I fucked up Chris Nauman's last name because we've got a fantastic. We got a two for Chris or Chris Nauman, not Chris Erlinson. We have Chris Erlinson. And Jenna Schlag, ladies and gentlemen,
woo!
On the show. And it's a perfect situation because they're co-writing, co-authoring, co-producing.
I wrote it, and Chris did the sound effects.
So we got The House, written by Jenna Schlag, and it's a part of The In-Between, which is we're going to do a live reading on the show. We got sound effects. We got all that good stuff. It's going to be fun times. We're going to premiere that today. And it's a workshopping, basically, what you're going to end up doing with The In-Between and with The House. You can check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/welcome-to-the-in-between. You can also follow our tweets at Team Awesome Inc. Follow Soundcast tweets at Soundcast FM. You can follow Chris Nauman's tweets at Robo Time Travel. Chris Nauman is a robot from the future, devoid of any human emotions.
It's true.
We're allowed to ask him one question per show about the future. Normally, I ask a dumb one, but I'm going to give this up to the guests because it's our anniversary show, 4-year anniversary
show.
Very
kind of you.
Oh shit! By the way, before we ask Chris Nauman the question, I have to be very clear on which fucking Chris I'm talking about.
It's hard.
There's two of them.
You know
and both of them write sci-fi. And Chris Nauman also writes sci-fi as well.
You can just call me Robot.
Robo Chris?
Fucking Robot.
I've been wanting to call you fucking Robot forever.
Yeah, man. Yeah, do it.
Fucking
it's
Robo.
A weird
yeah.
title.
Fucking go back home, Robo.
Exactly.
Go back to your country, Robo.
Stop being such a...
Robotopolis? No, Metropolis, right? Is that where the robots would be from? You're science fiction writers.
Sure.
Like that's a movie,
like
isn't
a real,
it?
sounds
like a real thing.
Is that being such a
hominid? Yeah, okay. Yeah, exactly. You know what? I'm giving her a point early. Yes, you got
She's
it,
got an
Jenna
extra leg.
I was going to go with Robophobe.
Robophobe. Ooh, another good one. I'm liking it. Yes. Another point for that. But guys, it is also Christopher Erlinson's birthday.
Yeah.
Holy fuck-a-doodle.
Yeah.
Wow, there is so much happening today.
Wow, I was going to sing, not explosion noises, but that's cool too.
Yeah, but we can't
it's a birthday
sing,
blowout.
We can't sing the birthday song because that's legitimately copywritten. Like, happy birthday
oh, wait, no.
to...
I think
can't finish it.
Hallmark owns it, I'm pretty sure.
Hallmark owns it.
I know there's been an update about this.
Wait.
Wasn't there a legal case?
Yes.
No, but wait, I got a better one for you. We got a better one for you, right?
Oh, God.
Chris Nauman?
We have a better song?
We got a birthday song. It's the awesome birthday song. Are you ready?
Ready, Chris? I totally know this song.
All right, ready?
That we're gonna
One, two, three. Awesome birthday to you.
It's
Olé.
Chris.
It's Chris O'Reilly. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
So honored.
And
you picked that up real fast.
Guys, it's such a I'm feeling the celebration spirit, you guys. I'm feeling it. And I got you a birthday present, Chris Erlinson.
Oh shit.
Check this out. Our good friends at Forbidden Planet have yet again stepped up. Yes, they're going to start giving us stuff for the show to give away again for the pop quiz. So when we start doing pop quizzes, we'll have more.
There.
Oh, they're amazing. But I got you. This is a instead of doing a single issue, I got you a trade paperback.
Oh,
this is your science fiction writer. Check this out. It's called Limbo, ladies and gentlemen. Limbo.
Whoa.
Check this out. Welcome to Dedane City, where the line between biology and analog technology becomes blurred, and minor deities lie coiled in the reels of cassettes. When a detective with no memory, no identity, and no manners runs up against a powerful crime boss, reality itself begins to unravel, and he starts to suspect that the truths he's been searching for may lie in the dark worlds of static, just beyond the glow of the television screen. Limbo. Yeah, pretty serious, heady, sci-fi
I think
shit.
I'm gonna have to borrow that.
Dude, when I saw this, I'm like, yes, you would totally dig this. So happy birthday, Christopher.
Thank you.
Erlinson. You're the special birthday boy
on
the show. Congrats on that.
That sounds that's real.
That's exactly up my rider.
Here's a Forbidden Planet bag. It's from the store, so it's a collector's edition, I'm sure.
Oh, nice.
It's good for huffing paint.
And I'm one of those people who wear...
Oh, wow.
This is a fourth anniversary show, so I got all kinds of prizes for you bitches.
Yeah.
For Jenna Schlag, whom
it's
I don't know.
Schlags.
Exactly, for Jenna Schlags. See, I don't know.
What
I was going to say.
You're pronouncing it right,
but
which is
the
more
S
than a lot of
minus,
people can
yeah
say.
I'm minusing the S.
He was
sorry
making it singular when
yeah
really it's a bunch of schlags.
I was just trying to make it easier.
There are several of me. I've managed to fit them all into one corporeal form.
Holy
oh
shit.
My God.
That's amazing. But I did get you something. I don't know you well, and I can't say your name, obviously. So I figure I'd make up for it by getting you a Rainbow Unicorn Adventure Time keychain.
Yeah.
Nice. So you go. That's for you, Jenna.
Thank
I'm gonna
you
toss that to you.
Does it stretch infinitely long?
I could. I don't know, man. You're gonna have to play with that. But
does it speak Japanese?
Also, Christopher Nauman is a science fiction writer as well, and he's also a big fan of a cartoon show called Rick and Morty. I got him. Beloved, America's favorite keychain, Mr. Poopy Butthole keychain.
You shouldn't
Mr.
have. You
Mr.
Shouldn't
Poopy
have
Butthole keychain. That is for you, Christopher Nauman.
Very, very kind of you.
There you go. Happy fourth anniversary. I mean, well, I guess a year for you, but like 4 years of awesome, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you so much for tuning in. It's been a ride. It's been a fucking crazy ride here doing that. But
beautiful, crazy
this
ride.
Is a,
but good times.
This is a really,
I think so.
This is amazing.
Oh yeah, hopefully. And
yeah,
the art, is solid.
That from you.
No, it's a solid issue. Solid.
After you read it, because
solid
it's
stuff. But I figured I'd start off with a celebratory presence and get, you know, like it's the celebration of awesome. But let's get into it, guys. Let's talk to, we got a newbie on the show. We got two old bees and one newbie on the show. It's Jenna Schlags, and we're going to get to know Jenna Schlags right now. Jenna Schlags.
That's what I said.
That's right, guys. It's time for your interview with Jenna Schlags here at Soundcast.fm. This is the Team Awesome Inc. live show, fourth anniversary show. We got a new guest on the show, and gosh, golly gee willikers, we're so happy to have her here today. Jenna, I'm curious to know, what got you started in the community as far as science fiction writing is concerned? What got you? I mean, is it a community? Is it something that you consider yourself a part of as a community? What is your deal, Jenna Schlags? What is your
why
problem?
Are you even here?
What are you doing in Jeez this studio? What? Why are you on our show? No, seriously, like, what's your deal?
Here?
Yeah, that's what we should call this segment. What's your deal? Sure. So what got you into science fiction writing? Was it film? Was it books? Were you a big reader?
I have always been a big reader. I used to bring a flashlight under the covers read well after midnight.
Nice. Awesome. And what kind of stories were you reading, young Jenna and with her flashlight? What were you reading in the night?
I was reading all sorts of stories, but I remember one of my favorites when I was a small child in, I think it was fourth grade, was the Wrinkle in Time series.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. Yes. Shout out to Wrinkle in Time. A Wrinkle in Time. Never forget.
That because my dad had said it was his favorite book. And when I got to a certain age, I was like, this is the age my dad read this series. I'm going to read this series.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But I read all sorts of books, a lot of sci-fi, fantasy. I remember reading The Little Prince in middle school. That was another really big favorite.
The Little Prince. Interesting.
It's about tiny little footprints that no one can really identify.
It's a murder mystery.
Oh, I thought it was like you know, ladies' dresses.
Yes, like, that too. That,
they're
both
floral prints.
Like floral print. Yeah, like, you know, whatever. But okay, regardless.
I think there might be royalty of some sort in it. I'm not sure. I don't remember. Maybe
we don't know things.
Could have been
stuff
a senator.
What do you expect us to know? Things and stuff? That's ridiculous, you guys.
But no. Yeah, so I was always reading and I guess always writing little stories here and there. So I don't know that I've necessarily picked out a genre for all of my writing, because it's just all across the board.
Right on. Well, when you sit down to write, is it usually like some... Because science fiction, that's got to be interesting. I mean, like, because you can come across various things that can... Any kind of writing, various things that can influence your writing can give you that spark of inspiration. What is your spark of inspiration, Jenna Schlags?
Honestly, it depends on the story.
Oh, fair enough.
So for the one that we'll be doing later, that actually came out of a conversation that Chris Erlandson and I were having about...
I like that you're even having to clarify. Thank you for doing that.
About modern interpretations of fairy tales and
ooh, nice.
Things that had already been done. And we were talking about a movie version of Hansel and Gretel and when they were grown up, and I said no.
And not the witch hunter shit. not that fucking witch hunter
and
shit.
And I said, no, if you're going to do horror of this story, here's how I would do it. And then my girlfriend, who's doing a short play festival up in Boston in a couple of weeks,
ooh, nice.
Sent out a call for submissions, and I looked at that and said, wait a minute, I think this story would fit that prompt. And I sat down and wrote it.
And you're like, I'll fucking do it. And then you did. Fantastic. That's amazing. So, and she's out in Boston?
Yeah.
Doing cool stuff in Boston?
Yeah.
Why aren't you in Boston doing cool stuff? She should have brought you with her.
She's here doing
She
cool
doesn't
stuff.
Love you. Clearly she doesn't love you. No, she loves you, but she's busy, I guess. Or
yeah.
whatever, right?
She works up in Boston, but we've been together about 7 years, I
Jesus,
think.
7 years?
Long-term relationship, high five.
You're an old... You guys are old married people now. The old married couple. That's adorable. Congratulations on being together for 7 years. I'm not jealous of you and your happy relationship, but I'll tell
God,
you
what is stability like?
Yeah,
is
that's that sounds scary. It sounds too uncertain, that stability. I don't know about it. But let's get back to your writing career and not your love life, because that doesn't influence anything, or does it? Does it influence things for you?
I'm very conscious of trying to put a lot of gay characters in my stories
That's a perspective that you are familiar with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's something that I tend to look for when I consume fiction of any kind is there a character that I can relate to?
Do you feel like do you ever get worried about people shoehorning that into a story? Like just to make, or do you feel like, how do you feel like they can make it organically? Because like nowadays it seems like Hollywood is so commercial and contrived. Obviously they've always been that way, but yeah. Like to have a homosexual character, it's like I'm writing a gay character, but it's like, no, you're writing a character that just happens to be gay. How do you approach it?
I think there's a balance between I'm telling a story that is specifically revolving around this character's sexual identity, and you also run the risk of being so, oh, yes, this is normal, that you actually make it seem like the character is closeted.
Oh, right on, yeah.
Which was actually one of the complaints that I had about the new Star Trek movie. I absolutely
Was sorry, spoilers, but
sorry guys,
spoilers. The movie's been out for enough times.
Yeah,
the internet, everyone knows everything. Chris Nauman, are you gonna go see it?
I have seen it.
Oh, you have seen it. Okay, so you know. Okay, I've seen it too. Why haven't we reviewed it?
I don't know.
Fuck, we should have reviewed it for the show. We'll do it next week, you guys. Late ass review. Thank God it's a late ass review. But Sulu was made. They like decided in honor of George Takei. Mm-hmm. Takei.
I've always heard Takei, but
George,
I'm not sure.
Is it George Takei?
It's okay to be Takei because there were some schools where you couldn't say it's okay to be gay. So
but
he
it's
said,
okay.
Like, you can use my name instead.
It's okay to be Takei.
That's not bad. He's
super deep. Oh my. I love George Takei. He's awesome. However you say his last name, I love him. Sulu forever, y'all.
You thought he was too closeted in the movie?
What was the situation? Because I know that he briefly mentioned my husband back in blah, blah, blah.
No, he doesn't.
Oh.
That's the problem. He doesn't have a mention of it.
But there's a shot where he, like, in public.
It's a hug.
With a child.
I thought he actually said husband.
They have their child there.
Oh, so that's where I assumed it was a husband.
Yeah.
You could still have
he's hugging his husband in public, and, like, their kid is between
them.
What
if it's his brother and his little brother?
I guess that's possible.
Super little brother. That's the problem, unless you knew that going into the movie,
yes,
you could just as easily interpret that as he's hugging his brother and his brother's child.
And, you know, George Takei, or Takei, however, he seemed like he was, like, at first he was like, don't make him gay, please don't. Like, he was kind of almost against it at first. And now he's sort of warmed up more to it, and he's like, well, I guess it's fine. I just prefer that they wrote an original character. Because when I played him, like, I'm speaking as if I'm George Takei. It's so weird. I'm channeling Takei. Oh, my God, it is George Takei. That would be a cool sci-fi trip on the show. But he seemed like he was kind of a, I mean, like, I think that's an honor to him and what he's done for Star Trek and what he's done in Gene Roddenberry's universe. To me, I don't see it as offensive. But, I mean, where do you lie on that? And we'll make it a roundtable thing.
I thought it was a good intent, but they could have done it a little better.
Mm. Because in science fiction, doesn't it seem stupid to just, like, acknowledge anyone's kind of sexuality? Well, it's science fiction, like, you know what I mean? It's all... Yeah.
It depends.
Like,
right?
if it's a future world, I imagine they'd be more hip and cool with it.
Monopolizing the conversation.
You're the guest,
please. It's your interview.
Yeah,
we're
interviewing
you. By all means.
Jenna Schlags, y'all.
The In-Between on Facebook. Check it out.
Because even in science fiction, people have lovers, people have families, people have parents, and so any casual mention of that is an opportunity to include diversity. I think just casual mentions of that, if romantic relationships are a major part of the plot, aren't good enough.
I see. Okay.
But if romance is nowhere near happening to any of the characters who are major characters, if you have two different characters who at different points in the movie mention my parents, you know, you also assume people are straight until otherwise proven.
True.
So even in a science fiction world, you have to remember that it's modern viewers who are seeing it, who are assuming straight until told otherwise.
And that's kind of unfortunate.
Straight until told otherwise. I like that.
I think I would probably argue that there's not really strong characterization in the movie at all for any of the characters.
Oh, Star Trek Beyond is not that.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of moot.
Fair enough.
Because we're not really trying to explore the ins and outs of any of the characters. We're watching an action film for the plot and the action.
I feel like it gives Sulu in that universe it kind of gave him a little more depth, I guess. I mean, to know that he was, like, you know, homosexual, it was like, oh, yeah, Sulu, oh, that's something. Oh, he's a person just like anybody else, and that's who he is.
You mean he doesn't just shoot aliens with his phaser? That's
he doesn't just fly the Enterprise. He just he doesn't just fence aliens either, because he's really good at fencing. And that's another thing about George Takei, or Takei again, that they put into the movie, was that he could fence.
I think you can be on a first name basis with George. You can just call him
anyone could just call George Takei Takei George.
Yeah,
just call him George. We know who you're talking about. But interesting stuff about sexuality in sci-fi. I'm always curious about that. Sex bots, wave of the future. What? So, Jenna Schlags.
Where did that come from?
Oh, no, don't worry about it.
Mike has a couple of things that he just hits over and over.
I'm just waiting for it.
One day. When I first got here and he found out I was a robot, his very first question, sex bot?
Do they exist in the future? Yes or no? He said yes, but you don't want them. And I'm like, what makes you think I don't want that? But that's a whole other conversation. So back to your writing style. After all that, I know it's kind of early to ask, but, like, what are the long term goals with the In-Between right now? The project that you guys are currently working on, is it every month you want to feature new stories? How many people do you want on this? Like you want it as a collective? Do you want to keep it growing and building? What is the future of the In-Between? Chris Erlandson.
I'm looking at you because Chris Erlandson
right
is responsible for the In-Between.
It's a cooperative, co-organizational effort.
Chris has thoughts he has not shared with me, so I'm curious.
What's going
Chris,
on?
What are your plans?
Yeah, you haven't explained anything.
I don't have
anything.
Plans.
You haven't explained shit.
I'm like the Joker. What are you and your plans? So I guess our plans for October, November, and the upcoming months is to, you know, we send out a newsletter. We kind of workshop, like, you know, a script or poem or anything we have going on in the back of our minds or something we made up, like, on the spot. And then we kind of compile them, share ideas. And then once a month, if any of those are producible in some kind of audio or film format,
nice.
We'll produce it as an audio or film production
thing. Yeah.
We will. How cool.
Yeah. So,
well, you know enough people where you can just, like, you know, like, you can come in here today and do, like, today we're going to have the live reading of The House. We're going to do that at the end of the show as a celebration of four awesome years here at Soundcast FM. Well, 3 years in January. It's complicated. All right, 4 years of awesome for the podcast. In January, we're going to have another anniversary, 3 years at Soundcast. So we got
lots of celebrating.
Lots of celebrating coming up this year. But nevertheless, let's get back to The House. This one is interesting. I mean, we're obviously going to do it live on the show. But what was the inspiration for this one? I know you briefly touched upon it at the beginning, but you wanted to bring Hansel and Gretel into the real world. What?
Yeah, and I think the idea was to create horror with sort of that magical realism aspect of,
because this seems more fantasy than sci-fi, and that's kind of another question I had for you guys, is like, the two can coexist, right? Sci-fi, yeah. Fantasy, that's okay. It doesn't,
what even is genre,
right? What is
what
genre?
Are labels,
yeah, right? They're just things we put on clothes. No, but when it comes to like what you're working on for this, I mean,
yeah, I don't think I really pigeonhole it into a genre.
Right.
That it was more about the characters and what was going on with them.
Because if you want to do more fantasy, I'm totally down for that. Because I love fantasy and I love sci-fi, and if you can keep mixing them up, I'm all about it. Like, if you
got knights in space.
Like, if Hansel and Gretel.
Wizards and knights in space.
That's, yeah, just Star Wars.
Hansel and Gretel in space?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. No, Chris. Naaman, quit ruining things.
No, Star Wars is wizards and knights in space.
No,
100%.
It's the Force and Jedi's,
it's
and
science.
Lasers, and lightsabers. It's not. There's no real sword. God damn it, Chris Naaman. No, he's right. He actually got me, last Christmas, he got me this Star Wars. It was wand? Like Shakespearean style. It was like written.
I saw that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
oh
really,
my God.
It's really good.
It's amazing.
I almost
really
good. Got it.
And it works because it works in Shakespearean times because it's basically a fantasy. But yeah, he's absolutely right. So really, I mean, you could flip those. I mean, you could do the fantasy version of Star Wars. Which would that be? Game of Thrones, or would that be, what is it? The Lord of the Rings.
The fantasy version of Star Wars. Yeah, I guess.
The hero's journey.
I think the fantasy version of Star Wars would be Tolkien, right?
Because yes.
Star Wars mirrors Lord of the Rings pretty well.
Or would it be more like the King Arthur
stuff? Ooh. Oh, yeah.
You're right. Obi-Wan is
King
kind
Arthur.
Of a Merlin.
Yeah, yeah. Obi-Wan's Merlin. King Arthur is like Darth Vader to an extent because he kind of brings down his own kingdom. And Lancelot is like, because he, Lancelot's like Luke, I guess.
Han Solo.
Luke / Han Solo. Mm. Maybe we can combine the two. Because he kind of ends up saving the day and gets with Guinevere. That's what I remember. But, of course, I'm thinking of the Kevin Costner movie. And Sean Connery was King Arthur in that one. That's what I'm thinking of.
I mean, because they both sort of ascribe to the hero's journey,
yes,
model.
100%.
Oh, my God. They're nothing but heroes on a journey. Yeah, you're right.
I think... See, Arthurian is hard because there's so many different versions of it. Mm. Whereas there's only... There's
is
only
he,
really one version
domain?
Of Star Wars. Arthurian lore?
Is King Arthur like...
Yeah. Okay.
Is that public domain?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, we got two sci-fi writers here right now. Write that.
Asking
right.
the important questions. Is it public domain?
Is that public domain? Is that,
can
we use
King Arthur in space?
Yes. Can you do that? Oh, my God. Camelot
Make
in space?
It happen.
You fuckers write right. that for
so,
me.
So
I
Camelot.
I
love
is,
it.
Camelot is the name of the space station that
That's
they all
live on.
That's
what I was going to say. Yes. Okay. It's like Deep Space Nine. Except instead of Commander Sisko, it's Commander Arthur.
No, Deep Space Nine is just good unto itself.
Oh, no. I'm not going to take away from Deep Space Nine because that is one of the greatest Star Trek series ever. I love
it
Deep
is.
Space Nine. It was the first one that takes place on
I'm
a space station.
I'm trying to get Chris Erlandson to watch Deep Space Nine
it.
With me.
Watch it. God damn, it's so good, you guys.
No pressure.
You have no idea. But what is the future for Jenna Schlags, being that this is your interview? What is it? What do you want to do with your life, Mr. Sister?
Well, right now with my day job, I'm working in finance.
Mm-hmm.
I think with writing, my goal is to come up with more producible things. Right now, I write a lot of short fragments of one-page stories or snippets of characters that aren't developed yet. So I think the goal is to do things that are more like this, where it's either a play or a short story in itself that doesn't have to be expanded, but can.
So you could do, like, maybe a mini-series of following the same kind of characters. Is that something that you'd like to work on? Not necessarily mini-series, but is that something you'd like to explore? A sort of ongoing series with the same characters, this sort of, like, a developing plot?
Yeah, I mean, in the short term, I would like to write a part two to this one.
Ooh, cool.
Because it ends
like
on,
to read that, yeah.
on kind of a cliffhanger.
Spoilers. Ooh, you guys, you're in for a treat later on in the show. Later in the hour, we'll be doing The House Live. It'll be the first live reading and our first live on-air reading on the show. Why not? Four-year anniversary.
It's going to bring down the house.
You'll bring down the house, y'all. Oh, shit. Where is it? Okay. Air horn. Yeah. That's how you know it's a party. But, yeah, and that's where you kind of want to head in that direction. Things that are more producible. Film, yeah. TV, theater, question mark.
Question mark.
Oh, even for you. Oh, answer the question mark with a question mark. Excellent. Well played. Points to Jenna.
I know this November I'm going to be doing NaNoWriMo again.
What's NaNoWriMo? That sounds cool. What is that?
It's National Novel Writing Month. And the goal is you have just the month of November to write 50,000 words.
You're doing this, right? You're going to do this?
I did that last November for the very first time. I did get to 50,000 words.
Holy shit. How was... Yeah, I was going to say.
It was a crazy month.
That
but
insane.
It was actually a lot of fun.
Well, yeah. Of course.
I decided at the beginning of the month that I really wanted to meet the word count goal, but it didn't matter if I did. And so giving myself sort of the freedom of, if this isn't fun anymore, I can always stop.
Good point.
And then just actually trying to keep the word count every single day. So it was a lot in 1 month. But after that, smaller word counts seem a lot more manageable.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah.
there was another writing thing I did where I was like, 5,000 words is the minimum for you to write in a month. And I was like, wait a minute. 5,000 words in a month? I wrote 50,000 in a month. That can't be that bad.
Damn.
Nice. So you're heading more towards a quote unquote producible phase in your career. That's something you'd like to get to, where you're going to be like paid to do this on the rigs, as the kids say.
That would
is
be
that
fun.
Something you'd like to do? Would you like to switch careers and get out of financing completely and go straight into published works and writing? Would that be the dream?
Not necessarily. I actually like economics and finance. I've always been kind of that both one foot in analytical things, one foot in the arts, even in high school. Like, I did all these science fair projects, and then I had art class.
Really? What was one of your projects that you did?
So all of my projects had to do with perfumes and essential oils. I started out in seventh grade trying to make my own perfume. This was a failure. I boiled rose petals on the stove. This didn't work. I really wanted to distill essential oils. But if you did it wrong, things could explode.
Yes.
And my parents said no.
Yes, I've heard of this. I've heard of people cooking things at home, like trying to make oils and trying to use like the stove and whatnot, and then glass.
You're talking about for drugs.
What? What kind of drugs do you use on the stove?
I don't know.
You answer that question now, Mr. Robot.
Did you end up getting ambergris for any of your perfume projects?
Did I end up getting what?
Ambergris.
It's
ambergris.
It's like that weird
answer the question.
Whale fat that smells horrid, but is
whale fat? Is that illegal in America?
Yeah, maybe I'm misremembering something.
No, where are you getting that from, Chris?
I don't know.
Where are you getting whale fat from? No, how do you know about this? And where are you getting it from?
Listen,
answer these questions.
I have my hands in a lot of things. Okay,
man, you keep your thumbs in a lot of pies, Chris. No, I'm in. I'm gonna
whale pie.
Inspect these whale pies. These gross.
That
whale
sounds
fat.
Real gross.
Yeah, I was gonna say fat whale pie.
Let's not say whale pie.
What does that mean? We're not answering that on today's show. We'll leave that up to you at home. But excellent stuff from Jenna Schlags. Looking forward to all of her writings and where she's going to go with this. She's very sound in mind when it comes to keeping one foot in the finances. That's obviously because when you're going into the arts and you're an artist, ladies and gentlemen, oh, fuck, is it difficult.
It is quite the feat. I'm amazed that we got to 4 years. Not to keep bringing it back to 4 years, but it's a 4 year anniversary show. So it's a struggle. And it sounds like you've got a really good head on your shoulders. Clearly, like you've got great like content as far as what I've read so far. It better keep coming. I want to keep reading this stuff. I want to keep having you guys on. I want to keep doing some live reads. That'd be really cool. Dope. And it'd be great stuff. And since we got Chris Erlinson here. Yeah. How are you doing, Chris Erlinson?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
What's your deal?
Doing stuff, you know. I'm keeping busy.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the interview, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in for that. Again, thank you, Jenna Schlags. Thanks, Chris Erlinson or whatever. Chris Nauman, awesome guy. Love you to death.
Thanks,
awesome
man. Glad you're here.
This has been Team Awesome. Team Awesome. Here at Team Awesome Inc.
Wink, wink.
Shut up.
Yeah.